A pinch and a punch for the first day of the month, and a new episode of the Rock Zone podcast as a little treat for your ears, as one commonly says, right? That's right. We're back with another episode of all things high rocks and possible side tangents that you're going to be listening to anyway. And I'm joined with producer Mikey.
Hello.
And statistician, mathematician, and all-round toy boy.
Hello. I'm not sure about the toy boy, but we'll go with it.
I'm sure on your behalf. Anyway, the three of us are going to be discussing the upcoming High Rocks world record attempt that is taking place on Saturday the 6th of April. And we're also going to be delving into what doping in sport actually looks like. Plus, a 100th episode is coming thick and fast. And the best part is, we want you to be a part of it. So, without further ado, let's get into it. 3, 2, 1, Rock Zone in.
Okay, starting with some High Rocks news again this week. So,
love me some High Rocks.
Don't you just, Maxi?
I do. I really do.
So, it's an update on the Mixed Relay World Championships, which are taking place in Nice. So, just to remind you, this is a relay race where 20 countries will go head-to-head in a grid-style race. Teams are mixed, and each country has a team captain who can choose their teammates from anyone in their country. Now, at the time we recorded the last episode, there wasn't much info out there.
I know what you're going to say.
But now we have a...
You're going to talk about Wales, aren't you?
We have a lot more, right? So including which 20 countries will be competing and who the team captains are. I won't go through all the teams, but if you go to @HighRocksWorld on Instagram for all the details, you can see who the team captains are and who the countries are and everything like that. I'll also make sure we repost on our Instagram story as well. But what I need to mention, and Nathan's already chomping at the bit here, is that there is no UK team. Instead, we have individual countries. So England, Ireland, and Scotland, but no Wales. How would you feel about that, Nathan?
Well, who's the England captain again?
Michael Sandbach.
So if he wants to pick me, like... Is that allowed or is
No. You're Welsh. You can't start claiming you're English now.
Right. Okay.
Well, hang on. I want to see where he's going with this.
Well, Nathan, I'm sort of leading you up the garden path a little bit here because I've got some news for you.
Oh.
Apparently, it's been kicking off so much online that High Rocks have added a space for another team to be included, and Wales will now be in the relay championships.
Yes, the 21st team. The wild card.
Yeah, the wild card. On a slightly serious
note. Hey guys. April Fools.
Oh.
Oh, no.
As if they do that.
Oh, no. Oh, I fully believe.
I was hoping I was going to be team captain then.
Right, so how have we been fooled? Like, Wales isn't partaking?
Yeah, Wales isn't. So, seriously, there's no Welsh team, which to be fair, is an absolute piss take, isn't it?
What?
Yeah, but that's a good idea, Mikey. We need to partition this. We need to put pressure on High Rocks.
Well,
I say we, I do.
Nathan?
You guys don't.
Yeah,
you don't
care. Yeah, we're fine.
You have all of the email addresses of various influential people in the High Rocks corporate. So, Nathan, fire away. The email ban has been lifted for a brief period of time.
Did you see the way his eyes lit up then?
Right. On a completely serious note, that is a huge, huge oversight.
Yeah.
That is not fair that you have all Isle nations represented, but then Wales not being big enough doesn't get a space. I mean, I think it's insulting enough as it is that there's not yet a Swansea or Cardiff-based race. Man, I'm really pro Wales.
Yeah.
Kind of going against the grain here.
Well, we better get some compensation in some form of a Wales venue coming soon.
I'd like to see that. You know, it would pop off if it was in Cardiff or Swansea, 100%.
Well, I don't quite know about that. And I'm basing this entirely on the two people that I know that represent Wales in High Rocks. That is the animated Nathan and the ecstatic Adam. Will it be popping off?
Well, you say that. So you remember like last week as well, we were sort of joking about this and you said, Max, that there should be a Welsh episode at some point.
Yes.
We have had a guy called Gethin Robinson already DM us and say he'd be up for being in the episode. So you've already got a teammate, Nathan.
How's this as a consolation prize, Nathan? You don't get to race in the actual important race. However, you can assemble a team of four ecstatic Welshmen and women, and you can relay on the podcast.
On the podcast, we can relay.
Yeah, sorry, I built this up and then completely botched the delivery. What I was trying to say is you get to assemble a crack team of Welsh people, and then you get to bring all of them onto the podcast, and one by one, you can all insult us. How's that? You get two insults each, you know, like every exercise.
Yeah, I like that. Let's do it.
Yeah. So never mind Maxi's Berlin Berghain relay team. It's going to be Natty Nums's Welsh Wallies. I couldn't think of any more alliteration there. Yeah, Welsh Warriors, there you go. And you can put a call out to the community of who wants to join. Who wants to join the Wales episode?
Sounds good. Let's do that.
Okay, some actual noteworthy news. We love a good challenge here at the Rock Zone, and there are two lads looking to take it to the next level this weekend and hoping to break the world record for the most high rocks in 24 hours, although I'm pretty sure no one in their right mind has ever attempted that before, perhaps. But Travis Owls and Callum Bratt are taking on the challenge, all in aid of charity, and by complete chance, they're here to speak to us right now. Travis, Callum, how's it going, lads?
Hello, boys. Hello.
Now, boys, hopefully you know the rules of a podcast, which are, before we can talk about anything serious, we have some quick-fire questions for you.
Yeah, it's coming.
Good. So, starting with, what is an everyday item you can't do a single day without?
It's going to be so generic. Mine's my phone. Like, it's so Gen Z. It's so Gen Z. It's not. It's my mum worries.
You tried to save it and made it even more lame. Okay, moving on to the next one. What is your go-to hype song for the gym?
Probably Billie Jean by Michael Jackson.
Rogue.
Okay. Underrated, I'm telling you now. Underrated.
Hey, I'm a big MJ fan, but you know, you've taken Travis's pretty vanilla answer and just, you know, swung way outfield.
full 360.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, next question is actually High Rocks related. Would you rather do a High Rocks in a PVC skin tight leather or have me as your wallball judge?
How strict?
The strictest you've ever heard.
I don't even know if I could do any wallballs in the leather.
I think put it this way, if Nathan were to judge your 24-hour challenge, you could add on an extra 4 hours.
Yeah, first.
Do the full 24 in the leather.
It's a bit of a trick question. Right, final one. And it's almost like we fixed this question. But what world record do you think you'd have a genuine chance at setting or breaking?
Oh, well, funny you say. It's got to be a many high rocks in 24 hours.
There we go. So, I mean, that has been the most seamless entry we've ever had from quickfire questions into the meat of the episode. Boys, tell us, what is this 24-hour challenge all about? How did it even come to be?
So, basically, I've done 24-hour challenges in the past. And back in April last year, went to London Olympia, took on my first doubles Hyrox with my mate, Brooksy. He'll like me adding him into the podcast. But, done first doubles Hyrox. And then thought, how far can I go with the sport and how much can I challenge it? And then thought, why not try and do as many as I can in 24 hours? And then thought, maybe as a first time, we'll get a doubles partner in. And then me and Callum have been mates for years, so went to him with the idea and he stupidly said, yeah, so here we are.
Stupidly.
Right, okay. But I'm struggling a little bit with the idea of how one can have the mindset of Hyrox isn't challenging enough. Let's put my own twist on it, my own very sadistic twist, and make it not just a little bit harder, but what, 24 times harder if you're looking to do one every hour?
Yeah. So, well, it's a lot more of like a slow and steady race. It's quite
right,
nice.
Okay.
Well, it's not okay. Nice at all. That's a bit nice. But it's just a slow and steady version of Hyrox. So, I don't know. It's trying to think of how we could challenge ourselves one step further. And I've done a few Hyroxes now. So, yeah, it's, I don't know. We get asked this question all the time and we just sound nuts.
Yeah.
I think that's just the baseline of it. Yeah. We do just sound nuts.
Yeah.
So I think it's just challenging the beliefs of what you can do.
But wait a minute, Max. You said one every hour. Is that the goal? Are you going to look to...
That's not the goal.
No.
One every 2 hours. We go for 12.
That's what he said. 12. That's very clear.
What's the strategy here? Talk me through the logistics.
So we're going for, 12 in 24 hours. We're going to do a Hyrox every 2 hours. So we'll start at midday on the Saturday and then we'll go for the last one, 10 a.m. on the Sunday. And we're going to give ourselves like an hour and a half to do the Hyrox in. So then we get a half hour break to then go again.
Okay. And sorry, just, you might have already said this, but what venue are we doing this at?
We're doing this at Unique Gym in Saffron Walden. It's the gym that I coach in. We're doing it there, as I did go to Hyrox with the idea of doing it at Hyrox, and they said no.
They said, we want to go home.
Yeah. Basically, they said, I don't think anyone's going to want to stay for 24 hours to watch you boys just run around the Hyrox walls.
I see. I mean, even more kudos for setting it up yourselves. But yeah, I think the logistics, I'm curious about, what are you doing in that half hour?
Eating a lot of food.
Eat, sleep, run, repeat.
Consuming as many calories as we can in 24 hours is the real challenge.
Boys, I also have a question about outfits. Have you considered, what are your plans for chafage? Have you got a strategy in place for this?
Tried and tested methods. Do you know what? I don't chafe. I'm all good.
Famous last words.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, wait for it. Vaseline.
And of course, you're doing it in the aid of charity. Who are you raising money for?
We are raising money for Macmillan because they are working with Hyrox.
Nice.
And we just thought, you know what? Everyone is affected by it, cancer. Every family has suffered, unfortunately. So we just thought, you know what, we'll do for Macmillan. And especially it helps because it's with Hyrox as well. So we've had great help and support from them a lot. And we're trying to do our best to raise what we can, to be honest.
Great effort.
Yeah, great. As you should. If someone's doing something as crazy as that, you should be doing it for a good cause. People should be supporting you for that. How can they donate? Is there a Just Giving page?
Yeah, so we've got a Just Giving page. And I think if you search into Google 12 Hyroxes in 24 hours, hopefully it will pop up.
Okay. Well, if not, I'm sure Mikey will put the link in our show notes. Boys, it sounds incredible. Thank you so much for joining us on the pod. We're going to try and support you and help you raise as much money as we can. So good luck for the weekend, and we'll be sure to catch up with you and see how you got on.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having us on.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, on to a slightly more serious topic. Yes, you heard that right. We do sometimes get a little serious here. We're going to talk about doping in sport and in Hyrox particularly as well. Isn't that right, Mikey?
Yeah. We're going to have a go at being serious for a change. So we should probably say at this point, if there's sort of any easily influenced ears like kids or anyone like that, they should probably avoid listening to this subject matter because it might be a bit sensitive for some.
Well, I don't think children should be listening to this. It's rather explicit at times. Please do bear in mind that we are just here to understand more about the topic itself, because a couple of weeks ago we spoke about it, and let's be honest, we're just talking anecdotally about something we may or may not have seen on YouTube. So we thought it would only be right to get someone on the show with more knowledge on the subject matter.
Yeah, that's right. And this has all come around because a few weeks ago, Hyrox updated their rule book to include an anti-doping policy. So just to remind you, Hyrox have said it now adheres to the World Anti-Doping Agency and its international standards. And, you know, as a bunch of lads who follow the rules, especially when we've got Nathan in our corner and we have no idea about doping or anything like that, we thought we'd ask someone to join us who can actually share some insight. So
exactly.
We are joined by John Cosgrove. John, thanks for joining us on the pods.
No problem at all, guys. Good to meet you.
And you. Okay, right. Let's start with, like, what is your experience with doping? And how do you kind of know so much about it and all that stuff?
Okay, so my background is competitive bodybuilding, which I've done for about 10 years. And I think around about 2017, I stopped with the bodybuilding and then transitioned across to more functional fitness, so CrossFit. And more recently, I've just competed in Hyrox myself.
Nice. Getting on to the hybrid athlete trend.
Yeah, more along the hybrid style. I think, you know, with the bodybuilding side, you look the part, but you know, you get me to run 100 meters, I'm not going to be fine. So, last year I kind of got a bit more into the running. So I did the Manchester Half Marathon, and I'm enjoying the mixture of lifting and running.
As does everyone on this call, I think, and everyone listening. That's us.
So I guess from saying that you sort of started in the bodybuilding world, and it's kind of, I guess, sort of a known truth that a lot of guys are sort of using sort of different types of performance enhancing drugs in that sort of sport. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. So, you know, with bodybuilding, you've got the two main contests. You've got the natural show where you should be on, you know, WADA rule drug list. You should be on nothing whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And then you've got kind of the untested federation, which majority of the guys will be in. And that's like a free-for-all playing field. You know, you take whatever you want within reason.
Wow. So is that allowed, or is that kind of an unspoken sort of off-the-record rule?
More so an unspoken rule. You know, everybody knows it goes on, but nobody really, not many people talk about it, especially if you're at the professional level and you've got these big sponsorships. Mm. If you're saying you're taking, you know, testosterone and some other different performance enhancing drugs to get that physique, it's kind of going to avoid that sponsorship deal with a supplement company that might be promoting, you know, protein powder or creatine.
Sure. Yeah. So do you not speak about it internally, or is it all spoken about internally within the community, so to speak, but you just don't publicly sort of say it, as it were?
Yeah, no, it's getting a little bit different now, because I think a lot more people are speaking out and being a bit more honest with their cycle uses. But definitely, like, within the bodybuilding community, people talk about it within that circle.
Yeah.
But a lot more guys, you know, especially with YouTube and stuff now, they're being very honest and open with what they do use.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So it's becoming a bit more publicized.
Okay. I mean, you've already kind of touched on it a little bit there, John, as to why people might take performance enhancers. But just to get your take on it, what would bring someone to do it? What's the benefit of it?
So, you know, it depends. Your PED or performance enhancing drugs, it's quite a wide range of different things you can use. So you've got your anabolic steroids, which is mainly in bodybuilding, mainly for gaining muscle tissue. You've got another little category called SARMs. And then you've got, you know, some other things like growth hormone and peptides. Now, I think within the WADA rules, everything is banned. And I think the most obvious answer is why would people take them is to gain the edge, to either be stronger, faster, recover better, to allow them to train more. If you're, you know, the top percent in the world and someone's asking you, would you take this drug to be, you know, number one, number two? A lot of people are going to take it.
Sure. That makes sense.
And John, one of the PEDs or performance enhancing drugs that most people have heard about, you just mentioned a few, but I don't think you mentioned testosterone, or is testosterone part of one of the ones you mentioned?
Yeah, so testosterone will come under the umbrella of anabolic steroids.
Right.
With all anabolic steroids, they're basically to gain muscle tissue or build muscle tissue, help with strength, help with recovery. They can indirectly aid with fat loss. The more muscle you have, the more calories you burn at rest. So I think it's difficult because in bodybuilding, the main goal is to be as big, as lean as you can. It's not a functional sport. And then if you cross over to CrossFit and HYROX, not more is better with those sports, because if you were to take more testosterone or more anabolic steroids, the benefits would basically negate anything. So in endurance sports, if you got too big, you're seeing HYROX, your grip strength might go, mm-hmm. or you might cramp up a little bit, or the demand for oxygen for that muscle will be greater than someone else, and that will make you gas out quicker.
That's interesting. So you're suggesting that people who might take steroids might, their grip strength can tire out, and obviously HYROX is quite a grippy sport. So would that mean they would struggle with things like the farmer's carry or the sled pull, workouts like that?
Yeah, so I think there's probably a fine line of taking the right amount. So testosterone is the most probably common steroid known. Mm-hmm. I think if people were to take a small amount of that, that would, you know, really increase their recovery time. They wouldn't gain massive amounts of muscle. So I still think they'd be very competitive in some of the endurance side of the HYROX. But then there's other things that they could probably take to aid that. So you can look at things like EPO, so blood doping.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Again, in bodybuilding, that's not really used because it's not really functional for what the goals are. But whether that happens within some of the HYROX athletes, I do not know.
Do you reckon anybody would be blood doping? Because I've sort of read a little bit about that in the past, and it sounds very complicated. Or is all this stuff a little bit more, I don't know, I don't want to say easy to do, but like not as, you know, the images that you kind of have in your head is like all these sort of injections and blood transfusion bags and stuff like that. Is that the reality or what's it like?
You know, it's very different to bodybuilding. I can't speak for any of the HYROX athletes if they do use anything.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think if you just look at some of the top guys in HYROX, it's very difficult to say if they are on or not on something, because I think most people at the top of any sport would be on something, because a lot of the CrossFit guys have actually been caught with these SAMs or the anabolic steroids.
John, sorry to interrupt just quickly, just because you've touched on SAMs a few times there. Can you explain what that is? Because I think the idea of anabolic steroids, they make sense, right? They're just a hormone. And sorry if I'm getting this wrong, but like a hormone that makes your muscles get bigger, essentially, right? Which would make sense from a bodybuilding perspective. This SAMS thing isn't something that I've personally heard of. So perhaps just for the benefit of all of us, what is that and how is that different?
So if you look at any anabolic steroid, it's got two ratings. It's got an anabolic rating and an androgenic rating.
Okay.
So anabolic is the muscle building properties. And then the androgenic is the male characteristics, so the deepening of the voice and the growing of the hair. So if you look at SAMs, which are selective androgen receptor modulators, they only bind at the androgen receptor for muscle building properties. So say if you're a female athlete, the last thing you want to do is take testosterone, because yes, you will get a little bit more muscle, but you'll also then get a very deep voice, very dark hair, all the male characteristics. So these SAMs are basically, on paper, the holy grail. They give you all of the anabolic effects with zero androgenic effects.
Okay. Right.
But I've used different ones and they're not as good as what they say they are. They do come with side effects, but not all the good side effects.
Okay.
So I would say that for females especially, in these kind of sports. They could be beneficial. The males as well have been using them, but I don't know if that's because there's cover-ups. You don't know what goes on behind closed doors, that's all.
Okay. So just to get this clear, these SAMs are similar, or like almost the newer version of like the original stuff?
They're like a synthesized product.
Okay.
Which is supposed to be all the good stuff and none of the bad stuff, basically.
Okay.
But that's not entirely true. Is that what you're saying as well at the same time?
You know, there's in the bodybuilding community, there's something called gynecomastia. Well, it's in regular life as well, but if you take too many anabolic steroids, so testosterone, testosterone converts to estrogen, which is the female hormone. If you get a build of estrogen, you can get lumps behind your nipples, which gives you kind of breast tissue.
Okay.
I know personally a few people that have had this from SAMs, which that it shouldn't convert to estrogen, but, you know, it does happen.
Okay.
Are there any sort of other side effects, like the sort of unknown side effects? Like, I think there's a few that we know sort of about, like you hear a lot about the back acne and maybe hair loss and stuff like that. Is there any sort of side effects that maybe are not as well known?
With steroids, you know, you've got the increase of male pattern baldness. If you're predisposed to going bald, it will increase that.
Okay.
You know, you can get some sore joints. You can get a decrease or an increase in your sex drive, depending on what different hormones you're taking.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the testicles will shrink up. Mm. Some of the other there's different compounds. If someone could give you some crazy night sweats, you know, you could wake up in the middle of the night with like really disgustingly smelly sweat.
Okay.
There's a lot of different things.
Sounds like quite a high price to pay.
Well, actually, Mikey, sorry to interject there. Those things, I've and I think most people who are like kind of in sport have heard these things be reported in the media. And, you know, if you're watching things on Netflix like Pumping Iron, like the infamous documentary about Arnold Schwarzenegger and like bodybuilding back in the heyday. What I was keen to ask John is those things are documented and, you know, to a certain degree, those are fact, those can happen. But how much of that is actual hype and how much of it is actual reality? And I think that's what Mikey was going to ask. Like, that seems like a heavy price to pay if that happens in every second person who takes it. But is that the reality or is that few and far between?
Yeah, I'd probably say more few and far between. You do find a lot of the younger guys now that are maybe not as well educated, they'll run a high dose of certain compounds and they will get the really bad acne. And, you know, they call this the roid rage, where you get a change in your aggression. A little bit of placebo, but you do find this happens in younger adults. Mm-hmm. The more seasoned, not professional, but someone who's regularly competing, they'll have a good level of knowledge of what they should and shouldn't be doing to counteract some of the negative side effects, which can be managed with different tablets to stop the estrogen getting too high. You can take other tablets to stop you getting spots. There's a lot of things that you can do to manage the negative effects.
Okay. But is that would that be advisable if something's making you ill to a certain extent, I guess? Do you want to take...
This is the thing, you know, if you ask a competitive athlete if taking this compound is going to get you a few more kilos of muscle, but at the risk you could get a very spotty back. I think Eddie Hall said something that when he was going for that 500 kilo deadlift, no, he would have kind of done anything that he could have done to get to that level. And he was probably close to, you know, not dying, but he's put
his out. He said that though.
Yeah.
Hasn't he? Yeah.
He had a severe brain bleed and went blind for like an hour or a day or something crazy after he did that world record.
Which is it. In the pursuit of something that he set his targets on. So I think anyone at the top of the game or anybody's really competitive, they'll probably push the barriers to the point where it's not safe and it's not healthy.
Yeah.
I mean, I can understand the pressure as well. Like I saw Eddie Hall lift that 500 kilos on Facebook and I was screaming at Facebook, so excited watching it. So like, imagine being there and living that life and everything like that. So yeah, I can see the sort of the temptation at the very least sort of thing to it all.
John, this is obviously a question that always gets asked, but I just want to hear what your opinion is on this. Do you class performance enhancing drugs as cheating, or is it completely situation dependent? Just generally share your thoughts on that.
No, I'd say in any sport that has a doping rule, you should not be taking any performance enhancing drugs. At the end of the day, it is cheating. But then, you know, when you look at the individual and you know everybody else is doing it, you probably put yourself at a disadvantage by not using things. So yeah, I'd say 100% is cheating, but then it depends on your moral code, I suppose.
I see. I mean, that kind of would suggest that because everything is kind of kept, you know, behind closed doors and hush hush, you're kind of enforcing or encouraging, you know, more steroid taking in that way, right? Because if everyone's thinking, oh well, if he's doing it, then I need to do it, you're kind of creating or willing it into existence almost.
Now they brought the drug test into HYROX, it will be interesting to see what happens, because I don't know too much about the testing specifics, but I've been speaking to a few people, and I think if you want to do a drug test, each test needs to be tested for a specific compound. So say if you test the winner of the world champs in HYROX, you need to test them for growth hormone, steroids, SAMs, fat burners, diuretics, anything like that. You'd have to do individual tests, and I think it becomes a very expensive thing then.
You'd have to take a lot of blood out of them, by the sounds of it, to go through that shopping list.
I mean, that's crazy. I've never even thought of that. It's really interesting that you bring that up. Like, every single test, does that mean you need a vial of blood or like a vial of urine, whatever it is, for every single test that you're doing?
Again, I don't know the ins and the outs, but if you go for just a blood test at your hospital, you know, you take one vial, and that vial could check 20 or 30 different markers. So with it being drug tested, I don't know the answer.
Okay, fine. But I mean, what you said there is interesting enough as it is. You need to test everything individually, as opposed to like one nice universal test of like, yep, he's taken something, or nope, it's all good.
Like a COVID test.
Yeah, like a COVID test.
I think if that was the case, you'd see a big decline in drug use, because I think people would be getting caught left, right.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a bit more understandable how these sort of, you know, you hear about sort of top athletes getting away with it then, I guess, isn't it?
Yeah, so again, this is just my own opinion, but a lot of the top CrossFit athletes, I can't imagine anybody is natural, because if you look at them, they're all very big, very muscular, very lean, and they've got a really good engine, which is not a normal thing to have. Like, you're going to have the elite genetic freaks out there that can do this, but I'd question it very much.
Okay.
So I don't know how they get around the drug tests. I don't know the answers to that.
Nathan, as our resident CrossFit enthusiast, what's your opinion on that?
I thought you were going to ask him what gears he on.
Yeah, I think as John said, you look at some of the physiques. I'm not going to name them, but some of the physiques are absolutely incredible, because they are super strong and super ripped as well. So it's hard to think that they're all natural.
Okay. Well, John, maybe just to round this really interesting chat off, what's your thoughts on HYROX putting in what appears to be a stance, or taking stance on the use of PEDs in their sport?
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see. I don't know if they're going to actually implement anything, or if they're just talking about implementing things. It all depends on how they do it. If they just look at testing maybe the Elite 15 or just the winners of each race, I don't know how they're going to do it. But it might ruffle a few feathers. But I think for the amateurs and for the people who just want to do it, I don't think they'll get tested, and I don't think it'll change who enters the events, if they're on stuff or not. So I think at the top level, it might be a bit game changing.
Okay. Well, John, thank you so much for such an insightful conversation. I think we've all learned a lot there and can take a thing or two away there. And thank you for being a great guest.
No problem, guys. Thank you for having me.
Cheers. Right, back with the normal programming of this show. Out with the serious and in with the fun stuff.
Ayo!
Well, it could possibly be fun. But in any case, Roxone, question of the week is what Mikey's written down on my script. I thought we call it community questions.
Well, you know, I change my mind every week. So yeah, call it what you want.
The QOTW acronym isn't working for me. We'll call it a cog, a cock. community of the question. No, that.
move on.
Right. So sticking with the theme of world records, as you heard again at the beginning of this show, one of our favorite questions to ask our new guests is what world record they would have a genuine chance at setting or beating. This is what you came up with. Jake's Lucky 777 says, clearing a room full of people in a matter of seconds with my toxic ass. Christ. You know what? I reckon he's really thought long and hard about that. Shame on you for getting on the show. I don't know how you've done that. Right. Stephanie Keane comes with the next one saying, most days of patience before punching someone. Oh, you know what? Nice. A really subtle vent at how annoying people in our surrounding are. Dill Russ comes in with the next one saying, fastest time for soul leaving body when entering BBJ during the race. You know what? I reckon that's a heavily contested division. There'll be many, many an athlete that sees that infamous pink line and white line behind it and thinking, no way am I doing this. He also says, I could also consume the most Christmas mince pies in both 24 hours and 30-day periods.
Nice. What's a Christmas mince pie? Like, what's the difference between a mince pie and a Christmas one?
There isn't one.
Right.
Just clarified, because if you said mince pie in, what, April, it's a bit weird. So you just put Christmas.
Got it.
Here we go. I'll leave you with this one.
Yeah.
And I'd like Nathan's opinion on this one. Evil Twin, aka Simon Head Judge, comes in saying, most Hyroxes judged.
Most Hyroxes judged. I mean, yeah, he is.
Well, official Hyroxes judged, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, granted. So whatever.
Inofficial, I reckon Nathan's all over that.
I was going to say, yeah, unofficial.
My watching of YouTube elite races from my armchair and rewinding and checking if they crossed the line on a run. And writing up large emails to the global race director at Mintra on all the minor infractions.
Yeah, there you go. Most emails sent to Mintra at Hyrox.
With the subject, did not cross the line.
And that rounds off our community questions this week. Before we go, we have one very important piece of information that we need to disclose and get everyone's help with planning, because yeah, we've not actually got around to it. But it's our 100th episode. What should we do?
Yeah. So we're on episode 96 at the moment. So we're really close to 100th episode. I reckon that's going to land the week before Hyrox London. That's where I think it's going to be. Okay. I mean, my go-to thought immediately is it's got to be workout followed by drinks in the pub afterwards, right?
Yeah. Workout optional.
Drinks in the pub.
if you do have any ideas, please don't hesitate to get involved. We love hearing from you. And who knows? You may find yourself as the official Roxone podcast party planning person. PPP. Because we've not got one of those yet.
Yeah.
And then we'll announce the details of what we, or hopefully someone else, has organized on our behalf in due course.
I love the way you've outsourced this, Max. That's brilliant.
And as always, we've got one favor to ask you. If you enjoyed this episode, please tell a gym buddy or share this episode in your fitness WhatsApp groups. It really helps us out a lot. So your support is much appreciated.
See, Nathan even read that off the screen to end this episode off. And he almost passed out only once. And on that note, 3, 2, 1, Roxanne.
Roxanne out.
Roxanne out.